Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Kuchle Adams is a renowned SAFTA-nominated South African television host and a fixture on small and digital screens nationally. From her debut on SABC's Roughing It Out, a children's environmental reality show, all the way to a double take on the SAFTA's 17th and 18th annual Craft Awards show stage in 2023 and 2024. Kuchle continues to capture audiences with an undeniable on-screen presence and her infectious energy. With a wealth of experience that includes Vuv Scoop on Channel 194, The Espresso Show on SABC, and Channel O's I Request Show Celebrity Edition, the SAMA 30 Red Carpet amongst others, she has cemented herself as one of the nation's foremost television presenters. Kuchle shows off her versatility of skill, having interviewed local and international stars on a myriad of red carpets, including the Miss South Africa, the annual Stella Artois Most Fascinating Dinner as the first ever red carpet host in 2024, and of course for the Espresso Show. Kuchle can now also be seen on Mzansi Magic's digital entertainment show, What's Hot Mzansi. I interviewed Kuchle on the pink carpet at the Feather Awards in 2024, and I decided I would be fascinated to hear her story. As a result, she's the guest of this episode of Celeb Savant. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Kuchle Adams. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm all good, thank you. I'm currently at home. I'm about to step out to support a friend. She's got this book launch that she's hosting tonight. I'm really excited about that. But yeah, I'm all good here in Johannesburg. How are you?
I'm so good. Kuchle, let's rewind. At what age, yes, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, cool, I want to be in the presenting world, I want to be in the creative world? And how did that journey progress?
I can't really pinpoint at what age, but I mean, looking back and hearing stories from my mom, her retelling how, you know, I would speak to myself in the mirror, or maybe in high school, some friends would be like, you know, I'm not surprised that you are doing what you're doing because you'd host these talent shows in high school and things of that nature. I think that has always been innate in me. But to be specific and tell myself that this is what I want to do, matric, because in matric, we're challenged to decide what we want to do with our lives. And I knew that I wanted to leave Gqeberha. And I knew that I wanted to be on TV. So I think a more consolidated feeling or response would be in matric.
Okay, so how did you know that being on TV would be as a presenter, as, you know, that type of genre instead of acting?
Because of the people that I watched growing up.
Okay.
I used to watch Pio Monati show. It's this incredibly hilarious and intelligent sketch show that used to appear on SABC 1. I think I just thought those people were so cool and so funny and so talented. I'd watch Live Amp with my sister on SABC 1. I'd see like Loot Love on the platform with Oandi Lengube, Bonang Matheba and all of them. And I was just like, wow, this is so much fun. And I would like to make a living off of this. So I just knew that I'm more in the communication aspect or sector of the entertainment industry more than I am the performance art. I mean, this also falls part of performance art,
yeah,
because we work according to briefs and scripts. But as myself, as a personality, that's when I knew, because these people are shining so bright through the screen. They're making me feel so good, but they're just being themselves. And that's when I was just like, okay, cool. Maybe I can explore this.
Seeing it on television and seeing these people portray, uh-huh, these interviews and presenters, moving into yourself professionally, were there any elements that you were like, oh, I didn't realize that this would be part of it?
Of course.
What were those things?
So many. you know, we think that we have to, as TV personalities or presenters, a lot of people think you just show up and you improvise everything. There is actually an element of preparation before you go in front of the screen. And I suppose that level of preparation, or to what extent you take your preparation, is specific to the individual. But the level of preparation, especially with the platforms that I've been, that I've had the pleasure of working on, I'm just like, sheesh, man, there's actually a lot of work that goes into this 5-minute insert, this 30-minute show. It's hours and hours of preparation and work, you know? So just the element and the level of preparation. Above and beyond that, like, learning the business of it, it's more than just being a personality, but you are the product, you are the business. So how do you now want to lead in that space? How do you want to lead yourself, to lead your team, to lead, you know, within the spaces that you occupy? It's a big deal and it's a serious job. It's not just like the glitz and the glamour. Yeah. There's so much work and preparation that goes into it.
Well, I think that's everything in the entertainment world. Most of the people on the periphery or the observers think, oh, boom, quick, oh, it's so glamorous. And they don't realize all the bits to get to that glamour.
Exactly. And how important it is to collaborate, because at the end of the day, everything is a collaboration within the space. You know, whether you are on a red carpet, you are on a main stage, you are on TV, it's a collaboration of different talents, of different experts in their respective fields coming together to share what they know, to ensure that we all produce quality productions. We all produce something beautiful and worth watching and worth sharing with the rest of South Africa and the world.
So you have presented on a different types of genres of shows. Obviously, the preparation, all that's the same, but how's it different presenting, for example, on entertainment show compared to a different type of show?
So I'll just be specific to the shows that I have presented on. So Expresso, which is a variety breakfast show. What's Hot to Mzansi, which is a Mzansi Magic companion show that focuses on, you know, telenovelas and South African films and soapies. And I Request the Celebrity Edition on Channel O, which is a music show. All of these three platforms are different, right? There's a different tone to them, because you're speaking to a different audience, you're speaking to a different age group as well. The preparation is the same, because at the end of the day, you still need to sit with your brief, to truly understand and peruse the brief and understand what is required of you. Your energy needs to be aligned with the platform that you're on and you're working on. But the core difference, I would say, is number one, the audience, the people that you're speaking to, the age differences, it's different demographics. And I think thirdly, for me, something that was freeing when I started, you know, incorporating isiXhosa into my presenting is language. That's another core difference in presenting the different platforms, is how much vernac you're able to express yourself in, you know, and I found that it's so liberating to have that flexibility and to have that opportunity or space to express yourself in a way and in a manner that comes naturally to you. So I think those are the three main differences. But to the core of it, the preparation remains the same. And at the end of the day, you still need to show up professionally and committed to the job and the role that you have been tasked with.
I'm sure it's second nature now, but when you had all of these three overlapping, did it ever take you a moment to say, okay, now this is the audience I'm speaking to, this is the demographic, this is the target audience? Or does it just come naturally, like, oh, we're speaking to you?
I think that it does take a while to streamline these different voices or these different tones, right? Because I'll say this, to the core of it, the personality is the same. I cannot change my personality. Exactly. I cannot change how I laugh. I cannot change how I engage and interact with people. That is to say that regardless of whatever platform I am on, I am not changing who I am.
Exactly.
Yes, I can change the tone in which I'm trying to communicate the core message, but ultimately you will know that it is still Kuhle Adams speaking behind this tone. But that's a very good question that you're asking, because it did take me a while to sort of let go of the prim and proper presenting, good morning, South Africa, and just get into a, yo, what's happening, everybody? This is, you know, like a more chilled and relaxed and fun sort of thing. And it's taken a lot of work, but right now I think that I have found what works for me and what I need to do to sort of channel these different parts of the audiences that I am speaking to in South Africa.
So top of mind, and without mentioning any other names, we're not here for that, but a story or a thing that comes to top of mind that taught you a lesson of like, ah, this is where I'm at and this is the path I'm at. Just that affirmation from the universe in an interaction that you've had.
I'll speak about the most recent, which is my SAFTA nomination. I think that was the biggest affirmation, and it's something that I've always wanted and needed. But these are things that we don't admit, right? Because we don't necessarily work for accolades, but it's nice to be recognized by industry practitioners, industry leaders, and industry peers and colleagues. When that nomination came, it came at such a right time. You know, at 28, I am now on my 9th year in this industry. And it's almost to say that, well done. You know, you've put in the work. Now it's okay to diversify, or now it's okay to take it to the next level or to the next step. I think that's the biggest affirmation that I've received in this industry. I mean, as far as I can remember, probably as far as 6 years ago, I'm like, I need to be nominated for a SAFTA. I need to win a SAFTA. I haven't won yet. It's going to come. But the nomination alone is like, okay, the universe is listening. This is telling me that, you know, I am the girl I think I am, and I am at the right place at the right time, and I should just keep my head low, keep on working hard, and just continue on this path that was tailor-made specifically for me.
Obviously, you started when social media was just sort of in, but then TikTok came and all these things. How are you feeling that these elements or platforms have now influenced the presenting field specifically?
This is a conversation that I have with, you know, my peers, like the class or the group, the cohort of people that I started the presenting game with. Before the rise of social media, of TikTok, we had, you know, public auditions, national TV auditions, where you'd have to audition on television.
Yes.
You know, and you have to campaign for votes, et cetera, et cetera. I think that with the rise of TikTok, it's allowed people to establish themselves as personalities and brands and create their own niche, right? In doing so, it attracts brands that are aligned to that person's lifestyle. I think that it's allowed people to meet the industry halfway, which is absolutely fantastic and great and grand. But I think that also in doing so, what I have noticed, and like obviously this happens every time we have briefs and stuff like that, where people are being considered for roles and gigs, mm-hmm. where there are a lot of things that are being considered. So you're the number of following that you have, etc.
Yeah.
So those things now have taken precedent or taken priority. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one thing that sort of shifted a little bit in terms of before the rise of social media. And where we are now, TikTok is a channel and people's pages are different. Rather, TikTok or Instagram, Facebook, whatever, is a network, and individual profiles are channels. So it's given us that not so traditional television feel, but I know that on Friday, my favorite TikToker is going to post. So it's away from scheduled entertainment, but more so on a, like, you can curate your own sort of entertainment. And that's the vast difference between legacy traditional media to now the digital space, and also the opportunities that the digital space has, you know, created for young people who want to get into the entertainment space. And this is also very important to note that South Africa, there's a high rate of unemployment. And what social media has done is create a platform for people to fend for themselves, to be their own business, to be their own companies, to create their own content, to create their own opportunities. So in as much as, yes, I do admit that, you know, legacy media has heavily been influenced by social media, at the end of the day, I don't think that it takes away from the bigger conversation, right? About creatives, about where creatives are in this day and age, you know, in South Africa. So a huge shift for sure, but it's one that we're trying to keep up with.
Yeah.
And it's one that we also celebrate because there's no going back and nothing's going to change.
Yep.
Technology is going to continuously evolve and the digital space is getting more expansive.
So I agree with you. The thing that what I think needs to be more balanced about is the fact that, okay, this person's got 20,000 more followers and then this person, so we go with that person. It should be more about their reputation and the content and who they are included in the numbers.
Yes, 100%. Yep. The credibility needs to be there for the specific task that is required of said personality. I absolutely agree with you that numbers are not all that, but I suppose what matters is the number of eyes that will be led or directed to that particular platform. But I mean, the skill, the talent, the hard work, the credibility should not be overlooked as well.
Obviously, you've interviewed all different artists and from different categories and genres. You know, you and I know each other, so we've really, the rapport's ready there. But in your world, if it's someone that you've never met and you're going to be diving into an interview, how do you sort of break ice and get down to it, so to speak?
That's a very good question, because I was saying to a friend of mine that I'm not a jokester, right? I'm not like a funny person.
Yeah.
A lot of people break the ice by making jokes, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm not like a funny person. I don't intend to be funny.
Yeah.
But I just approach people with the understanding that they know who they are. They know how important they are to this particular event or this space. Therefore, they will act accordingly. So I'll just, you know, with respect, greet them, be like, hey, how are you doing? So how's the vibe going so far? Did you just get here? Just like casual small talk and just be like, okay, cool. I'm just going to ask you about like 2-3 questions. Is there anything that you want to touch on or that you want to promote? Or if I'm speaking to a musician or an actress or whatever, anything that you'd like to promote? And then as soon as we start, you know, I introduce them, get into the questions, and then, but I mean, it's someone that I've built rapport with, there's that element of like fun and like joking around, you know, goofing around, and it's hilarious. But you also try to read someone's energy, especially with artists. They can be very sensitive sometimes. But I haven't really had an extremely terrible experience with an artist, apart from the fact that some of them really don't want to do interviews, but perhaps their PR person would be like, you have to do this interview, you know? So you just approach with caution because you want the most out of them and you want them to feel good when they watch themselves back, especially bearing in mind that these interviews aren't necessarily for them, but for their people and their followers. So when their people and their followers see them on screen, they need to smile and be like, oh, yes, this is so-and-so. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I tried to kind of like approach with respect, with a lightheartedness, and also include them in the conversation before we even start, to just give them an idea of which direction this interview is going and if they have anything to contribute to the conversation, or maybe they want to lead me into a particular promotion or something that they're doing or working on.
And what do you enjoy about being on the red carpet?
I enjoy the fact that it almost feels like, I love live television. It's like in real time. It almost feels like that. There's no second chances. The adrenaline is through the roof. The energy is electric. You know, the pictures, the flash. It's just glamorous. I mean, I love the work that I do, but I also love glamour. It's glamorous. It speaks to the culture of entertainment. It speaks to people's commitment to growing our industry and just making it look good, to make it enjoyable. It's a performance, it's a stage, and interacting with different people on the red carpet is also a fantastic time. Yeah, I think just ultimately to the core, it's the culture of the glamour. It is setting the tone for whatever event we're attending. Therefore, the red carpet needs to be here because that's when you actually get to speak to a lot of people before we go into an arena or whatever the situation is to watch the big thing. But it's the build up, it's the anticipation, who's here, who's wearing what, you know, who are they dressed by, what do they have to say, etc., etc. Just that culture for me, I like inject it in my veins. I love it.
For the listeners, I first met Kuchle when I actually interviewed her on the red carpet or the pink carpet for the 2024 Feather Awards. And that's how we met. Mm-hmm. And I've done quite a few red carpets and exactly that. You know, it's a lot of energy because you're dealing with a lot of energies and up and down and whatever. And it's a little bit of tiredness, but this catapult of energy and adrenaline is up. Baba, you know me, I've got lots of energy. When I finish the red carpet, I need to do laps.
Because your energy is here, right? It's like, let's keep on going.
Yes. Absolutely. So
I love that.
What's coming up for you in the next few months?
What's coming up for me? Same old, you know, nothing is really exciting about my life or my lifestyle. You are going to see me on TV, on red carpets, you know, on the small and big stages. I think this year is just about fully cementing myself. I think last year we ended it off very strong, and this is about continuously planting my feet and being grounded in what I've built over the years, man. I think it's just time to now allow the universe to take over. I am still putting in the work. I'm still showing up and, you know, as professional as ever, but I'm really open to how good it can get. You know, I can have all of these plans set up for the year ahead. But for the next couple of months, same old, you'll see me on platforms such as Expresso, WhatsApp, Zanzi. Yeah, we'll see each other on a red carpet.
Yes. I know that if I had to ask this question in any other time, I know your answer will be different every time, simply because there's so many of them. But top of mind, if there were any international or local people that you have yet to interview, whether on the red carpet or for a full-on interview for television, let's give four names, top of mind, international, local. Who would those be?
Oh, four names. Okay, Trevor Noah is international now, so he counts. Yep. Issa Rae, Kiki Palmer, and Oprah Winfrey. Those are my top four for now.
Okay. I know if I had to ask you again now, you'd have another four.
Who would you interview, actually?
Now, in this moment, on my list, Kylie Minogue. She's always on my list, but she's my favorite. Kylie, let's think who's coming through. Meryl Streep, Tiffany Haddish, and Wanda Sykes. Those are four that just came through now.
That's such a nice, diverse group of people. I love that.
And like, again, another four would come through now, but one of them would be Kylie. She's been on my list. You know, I've been a Kylie fan, and Kylie for me said her music has always, whenever I've been down, and it's been a lot over the years, I can watch one of her DVDs, listen to her songs, and it's just like, okay, now I know everything will be okay. So that's, and I know, because I've been through a lot, and not going there now, but a lot, I know it will be emotional when I interview her, because she supported me through the ether, so to speak.
Yeah, I love that. Hopefully it happens very, very soon.
Yes, I'm manifesting it, putting it out there. Kuchle, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I would just like to say that you are definitely destined for greatness, and you can absolutely achieve anything your heart desires. I think that we are our biggest critics, and we stand in our own way. We stand in our own way before the world comes against us. So why not be in your own team and do you excellently?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.